Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. Well, we're going to finish up our series today called Jesus Never Said That. And I hope we've got a better idea of who Jesus is. And I want to encourage you too. You know, what we've been doing this whole series is taking things that we've heard, you know, things we've experienced, misconceptions people have shared with us, or things we've read in books or heard in sermons, or, you know, a family member or a friend have said to us, and really just gone to Scripture and looked at what Jesus said. And I can't encourage you enough. You know, one of the great things about this series is I want to encourage you on your own. This is why you need to study the Word for yourself. I mean, even the things I say, you need to take those to Scripture and hold those up to what Jesus says. Because we can hear advice from people. We can read things in books, hear things in podcasts and sermons and videos all the times. We can pull themes from movies that we watch very, very easily and go, well, that must be true. But the thing is that every single one of us, for our own peace and relationship with Christ, need to take these things and know the Scriptures for ourselves. Know that this is what Jesus actually said, because that's all we've done is looked at what Jesus said and seen if it's matched up to this. And you've found through this series that there are a lot of things that we've believed, things we've been told that aren't actually true, things that Jesus never ever said. And this morning, I want to wrap things up and talk about probably one of the most religious misconceptions that we've followed, probably for a long time. And I guarantee you that probably at some point or time, you've heard this said. You've probably at some point or time been told this from a friend or a family member or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, somebody, especially if you grew up in the church. I guarantee you that you've heard this before. But before I tell you exactly what it is, you know, we've all come into times in our life where we have felt overwhelmed, right? We've been stressed, we get busy. And sometimes it's not even necessarily bad things. It's not even always bad decisions that we make. It just kind of comes, right? Sometimes it just comes with the season, comes with the age that we are, comes with where our family's at. Things sometimes just come upon us, but we're like, oh my goodness, it feels like a wave, and it feels like everything, we just got a little deeper, like how, now all of a sudden we're having to tread a little bit harder, because it just seems like everything's getting a little bit bigger, a little bit too much for us to carry, right? I mean, if you think about just some of the seasons that, you know, all of us walk into, when you have kids and their sports, kids and their schedules, kids when they get into school, life changes. I mean, Kate and I are going through it right now. We just registered my 4-year-old, soon to be 5-year-old, Olivia, for kindergarten. We're going from preschool to kindergarten, and I just in the last couple weeks learned that parents work from 8 to 5, but apparently school only teaches from 9 to 3. And I even called Crystal about this, because Crystal has Grant, the same age, and he is also going to kindergarten, but she also has older children. And so I called Crystal and I said, is this real? Like, I called Crystal. I'm like, is your school doing this too? Because I'm about to move. And she's like, no, that's how it is. That's life. And I said, well, that's stupid. Why has nobody fixed this? Okay, we work from 8 to 5. 12 months a year, Monday through Friday. So the school, you know, and now I'm trying to figure this out. So I'm learning about latchkey, and I'm learning about before and after, and I'm bartering with parents like some kind of drug dealer, you know. Yeah, I'll give you this if you get my kids off the bus. And I'm handing out IOUs for back rubs and stuff and offering to mow people's yards so my kids are safe. That's not how it's supposed to be, but that season of life comes, and it's just what happens, right? I remember when you were planning a wedding. I mean, my goodness, right? I mean, it took you almost a year to plan something that lasted 20 minutes. And it stressed you out so bad. We've got a couple couples from our church planning a wedding right now. And I mean, they just talk to me and it's just like the end of the world. And I just keep telling them, like, it's going to last 20 minutes. It'll be over. And then, like, you'll want to change things. So many things when you watch it back. It's fine. But it's stressful. There's expectations. And just that season of being engaged, figuring things out in life, it's very difficult. It's a very heavy season to be in. Health times, right? Health scares, health concerns, man, those can be really heavy seasons. My mom, I've really been in prayer for her this last year. My mom got just a virus. All she got was a virus, and it caused hearing loss. She thought it was an ear infection. She took medicine, and then she found out a week later, you're going deaf. And some of you may know this who have hearing aids, but apparently it's not just, well, we'll get you hearing aids. Boom. It took her 4 months with them constantly adjusting the frequencies and the tones and the different things in order for her hearing to get back to what it was once before. And then it's still not the same, but she battled that this last year of losing her hearing and having that feeling constantly for 4 months. Then on top of that, she got shingles. Which, if you've never gotten shingles, it's very, very painful. She had this nerve pain down her leg. It has taken her over a year to recover. She's just now getting to the point where there's not a tingling or painful sensation in her leg. And just quick PSA announcement, there is a vaccine for this, she has found out. And so she's encouraging everyone over the age of 45, you can go get this vaccine. It's very important because it was so painful for her. So I watched my mom. Sometimes just so upset, sometimes so overwhelmed. And what it was just age, is just sickness, nothing she could control, nothing she could have stopped, nothing she could have done something necessarily about is very, very painful. Or, you know, how about pregnancy? You know, if you saw poor Sydney, if you saw, she's awesome for being here. Everybody say thank you when you pick up her kids today. Sydney is about to have a baby at any moment, and she's in the back teaching your kids right now. She's holding on dear and tight. She's a school in the school district, and so she's, you know, hoping that baby stays in the oven till school ends, and then she's going to have this baby. But I mean, it's stressful, that waiting period and stuff. Just even having kids. Sometimes you have young kids, you have little kids, and during this time, allergies and stuff, they're snotty, they're congested, they're screaming. You have no clue what's wrong with them. You just wish so badly they could just tell you what in the world's wrong. And then, I'll give you a little preview, then they do learn how to talk, and they do learn to tell you what's wrong with them. It's really great, but then you realize they don't ever shut up after that. Like, they don't just tell you what's wrong, they also ask you, like, everything. You know, like, what's dinner? Why are we eating dinner? When are we going to bed? I want ice cream. I'm not going to do what you tell me. Those kind of things. These are all seasons of life that just come. Not bad things, not because we made bad decisions or anything like that. They just come. Changing jobs, waiting on a new job, being jobless. All seasons that we walk into where life just feels heavy. Losing a family member, going through grief. Dealing with the heartache of losing somebody you love, you know, losing your hearing, losing an ability you have, getting bad news from the doctor. All of these things are just things that come all of a sudden. And if you grew up in church or if you had a friend that wanted to give you some good-intentioned Christian advice, or maybe you Googled hard times or something, or why is God doing this to me? Where is God in the midst of my pain? What am I doing wrong? You might have heard this phrase, or you might have had somebody say this to you. Maybe they came up to you and said, well, hey, let me give you some good news. Let me tell you something that good about this. God will never give you more than you can handle. Have you ever heard this before? Yeah, some of you are shaking your heads, you know. You're like, yeah, this is why I don't talk to my mother-in-law anymore. Take heart. It's going to be okay. God will never give you more than you can handle. To which you went, what? Did they just tell me in the most Christian, nice, beautiful grandmother-esque way to suck it up. Right? Right? Because it is. It's the equivalent of like your trainer going, that light's weight. You should be able to pick that up. And you're like, no, I can't. I cannot pick it up. And the trainer's like, well, you should. I would never give you anything more than you could handle. And you're like, that's not going to work. And you feel bad about yourself, right? You feel weak. You feel diminished. I mean, in the most kind way possible, with good intentions, they have just told you God will never give you more than you can handle. So if this is something you can't handle, it's just because you can't handle it. It's just because you're too weak. So you just need to muster it up. You need to suck it up. You need to handle this because God would never give you more than you can handle. And that can be really defeating, can't it? And that makes you just kind of feel bad. It kind of makes you wonder about yourself. It kind of makes you question your faith. And you go, well, is it me? If God would never give you more than I can handle, then it must be me. It must mean that I don't have enough faith. It must mean that I don't believe enough. It must mean that I've done something wrong. Because if God can give me more than I can, God would never give me more than I can handle, but I don't feel like I can handle it, then there must be something that I am doing wrong. And it makes you question God. It makes you question your faith. Sometimes it can make you really angry at God. And here's the thing I want you to understand. This well-intentioned Christian advice, it did come from the Bible. It actually came from something that Paul said. Where they are pulling that from, where that thought first originated, is from this verse right here. Paul wrote the church in Corinth and he said, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Have you heard this before? Anybody heard this verse? Very common. This is where they're getting that from. So you can see that a little bit, right? You know, no temptation is uncommon to mankind, meaning it's been seen before, it's been done before. This isn't unique. This isn't a unique situation or anything like that. God is faithful. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He's only going to give you so much. So when you're tempted, you just need to find a way out because God's got one. God's got a way out for you. So just suck it up, buttercup, endure it. It's going to be okay. And that's where that idea comes from. Now, here's what I want you to understand. And if you've taken this verse and you've come up with that misconception, it's okay. It's fine. I believed it for a long time myself. This is something I remember regularly hearing growing up in church. But here's the thing we have to understand, okay? Paul is talking about temptations. He specifically says temptation, when tempted. And temptations are traps that attempt to lure us into sin, okay? Temptations are these traps that are set, that are there, that are all around us in the broken, evil world that we live in, that are trying to lure us into sin. They're trying to get us to mess up, is what they're trying to do. They're trying to trap us. They're trying to get us to sin. Those temptations are out there. You know, even back in Genesis, God said to Cain, he said this in Genesis, he said, "Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you have to rule over it." So even from the beginning of time, all the way back to Cain, God was saying exactly what Paul echoes in the New Testament. Yes, sin is after you. It desires to have you, but you have to rule it. You have to endure it. You have to hold on to God. He will never give you more temptation than you can handle, and you can get through this. But here's what we need to understand. Temptations are not the same thing as trials. That is what Paul is talking about in that verse. It is what God is talking to Cain about in the Old Testament. Temptation is not trials. And these are very, very different. Temptations are traps set, attempts to mess you up, to have you trip up, to have you sin. Trials are different. Here's a couple just differences about trials. Trials aren't traps set by anybody. They just happen. Satan's not behind them. God's not doing anything with it. These just happen. These are things that just happen in life. They're not temptations. Trials are different. Trials just come. Trials just happen. Trials just are. Nobody's after you, okay? No, I mean, it's, nobody's up there in the universe, in heaven, in hell, anywhere going, oh, you know what I'm going to do to screw them up? I'm going to send their kid to kindergarten, and I'm going to convince everybody only to watch him from 9 to 3. How good is that going to get him? All right? That's not happening. That's not what it is. That's just a trial. It's just something that happens. It's just how it is. We live in a broken world where sicknesses take place, death occurs, accidents happen. You know, life sometimes doesn't match up with how we desire it to be, and it just happens. Trials come in all shapes and sizes as well. Temptations are not unique. It's almost the same bag of tricks every single time. But the thing about trials is that trials can be different for everybody. Trials come in all shapes and sizes. Trials can be different. They can last a week. They can last a year. They can last even longer than that. Trials are different than temptations. So what we have to understand is that temptations are not the same thing. So when Paul says, God will never allow a temptation to come upon you more than you can handle, he'll be faithful, he'll show you a way out, he's talking about temptations, not trials. So that verse can't be applied to that. The fact is that there are times in life where we are given trials, where we come into periods, seasons of lives, where the trial is too much for us to handle. It's too big for us, too big of a burden for us to bear. And here's the thing, I believe this to be true, because even if we look at the most faithful, honest, respectable, honorable, God-following individuals in the Bible, even they confessed out loud that they had times in their life where the burden was too much to bear, where even they felt like God had given them more than they could handle. You take David in the Psalm, he wrote, my guilt has overwhelmed me. Like what? Like a burden too heavy to bear. Okay, this is David in his faithful period when he was a good guy still. And even he, as much faith as he had, said, I'm overwhelmed and this is too heavy for me. I can't take this. I can't handle this. And if that's not enough for you, even Jesus had these times. You look at Jesus, if we look at what Mark said, there was a point in time before he was taken, and he says he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. It's just Mark writing down how Jesus looked. And there is even a point in time where Jesus was so stressed out, so anxious, things were so heavy for him, that even he had to gather his friends around him and said, you guys need to go with me. I need you with me right now. I'm very distressed. I'm very troubled. It was evident in his face, in his body language. Even Jesus had a time where the trial was so heavy that he felt like he had been given more than he could handle. So, if you don't know already where I'm going with this, is that this. Jesus never said, God will never give you more than you can handle. Jesus never said that. So take a breath. You are normal. It's okay. There are going to be points and times where you are given so much. You have so much on your plate. You have so much going on where, yes, it's going to feel like you have been given more than you can handle yourself. But here's the good thing. Even though God would allow that, Jesus even addressed this because he knew it would be this way. He knew he would come across this problem. And so when he preached and in his life, in the Gospels, when we have these firsthand accounts, there was several times, but one time specifically we're going to look at where he addressed this. And he said, hey, there are going to be times where you are going to have burdens that are too heavy for you to bear, things you shouldn't go through alone, things that are going to be too much for you to handle. And here is what I want you to do. So he even not only addressed the problem, but he gave us a solution to the problem. And this is what he said to us in Matthew. He said, come to me. I want you to come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Okay, so I know this is going to happen. I know you're going to feel like you've been given more than you can handle. I know it's going to be heavy on you. It's going to be overwhelming. It's going to leave you troubled, distressed. Come to me and I will give you rest. I'm here for you. I want to help you through this. Okay, well, what does that look like, Jesus? And he says, I want you to take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Why would God allow you to have more than you can handle? You know, why doesn't God just snap his fingers, make life hunky-dory for us? Why doesn't, if he's already not allowing the temptations to be more than we can handle, why doesn't he let the trials not be more than we can handle? And the answer is this. It's because God looks at this, and God sees this as an opportunity for you to be closer to him. God looks at this and goes, this is a great opportunity. I'm not going to just fix this. I'm going to use this as a growth. I'm going to use this as an opportunity for them to be desperate for me, come to me, and then I will make their burden easy. I will make it light. This is a great chance for them to be in relationship with me. So I'm going to draw them closer to me. And he says, we're going to do that by, I'm going to tell them to take my yoke. Now, short side story. As a kid growing up, the only yoke I knew was an egg yolk. And for many years as a child, when I read this verse, I thought, God wants me to take his egg yolk? You know, what am I supposed to do? Just hold it in my hand? What am I supposed to do with it? No, it's not the yoke he's talking about. So a yoke was this harness that would go across two oxen in the field. So two oxen would line up side by side, and the yoke was this harness that would go across them and go over their head. And together they would have to move in sync, move together. And they would carry, you know, some type of farm equipment behind them, maybe a till or something else, maybe a wagon. And the oxen would move through the field with the yoke attached, and these two oxen would have to work together. And when they did, the burden, the load that they were pulling suddenly became lighter because they were working together, and it wasn't just one, but it was two. And the thing is that Jesus in this verse is saying, here's the thing. There are going to be times and seasons in your life that you come into where it is too much for you. But here's the good news. Although you're going to come into trials that are too much for you to handle, the good news is that I never intended for you to handle them by yourself. And those moments where you feel like you can't do this, and these moments where you feel like you are alone, here is the good news. I never intended for you to do it alone. And I want to come alongside of you, and I want to help you, because there are going to be times where I'm letting you know you won't have enough. You won't have enough money. You won't have enough sleep. You won't have enough patience. You won't have enough love. You will not have enough of whatever is needed. But take heart, I do. What I have is endless. What I have, I am offering to give you. And so all I want you to do is I want you to yoke yourself to me. I want you to lean on me. I want you to rely on me. I want you to be desperate for me. I want you to call my name and ask me for help. And although you don't have what it takes, I do. And I will come alongside of you. And I love what Jesus said. It was almost, you know, prophetic. When he said, and you will learn from me. I will teach you. I'm a gentle teacher. Almost as if Jesus knew, look, I'm not always going to be here physically on this earth, but here's the thing. You're going to have my spirit, and my Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. You're probably going to call it a conscience one day, or a voice in your head, or that gut feeling, but it's going to be my spirit. My spirit's going to live in you. It's going to advise you. It's going to talk to you. It's going to nudge you when you know what the right thing is to do. It's going to show you the wise thing to do. And even when I leave, everything here, it's being written down. It's being put in a book. It's being put there on pen and paper. And it's going to be there for you. And you're going to learn from it. You're going to need to study it. You're going to need to gather together. You're going to need to talk about it. You're going to need to examine it and break it down, make it make practical sense. And in those times, you are going to learn from me. And you're going to be transformed, and you're going to change, and you're going to learn the tools that you need in order to be better at life and to make life better. Because you're going to have these seasons, and you're going to have these times, but take heart. I am with you always. Isn't that good news? Isn't that awesome to hear? So here's my question for you this morning. The question I want you to wrestle with is this: how are you handling the more you can't handle? How are you handling it? How are you handling what you're going through? This trial, this season of life that you're in. You know, when you were a kid, you were probably taught, toughen up, right? Toughen up. And your parents or somebody else, they probably told you, you know, you could do this. Just believe in yourself. Just believe. Just muster it up. Just toughen up. Just, you know, wipe the dust off. Wipe the dirt off. Get up. We're told that, and I understand that logic. But I think that carries with us as adults. And one thing I've learned after being a youth pastor and now an old people pastor, you guys are all old people, by the way. If you're over the age of 18, you're all old people. So now, you know, I went from being a youth pastor to an old people pastor. And one thing I've learned, you know, somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, they said, you know, is there a big difference between being a youth pastor and an old people pastor? And I said, no, because all the old people are just a bunch of big kids who've had their problems longer. Here's the thing, I think that's carried over. And I think a lot of us as adults, we still try to just toughen it up. We still just try to believe in ourselves. We just try to muster our strength. And we go, I can do this, I can do this. I just need to, I just need to pump myself up enough, you know. I can do this, I just need to, I got this, you know. And we give ourselves this rah-rah motivational speech. But here's the thing, it's not intended to be that way with God. God does not expect you to be everything that you're supposed to be by yourself. God doesn't expect you to wait alone, to try harder. What he wants to do is make this easier for you by surrendering it to him, by calling out to him, by coming to him, by being desperate for him, for asking him for his help, for him to release the burden, for him to lighten the load, for him to give you exactly what you need. Here's the thing, you've been given more than you can handle. But there isn't anything you can't handle with him. One thing that we did talk about in my cohort group that I met with in Kansas City. You know, we talked about a lot of different methodologies and different things, but there was one thing we all agreed upon in the room. And I'm talking about, we had people from 25 to 80 years old. So this was all different generations, all different stories and stuff, pastors from all over different states. One thing we did agree on. As they said, you know, one thing that we have lost that I don't know how we can get back is our desperation for God. You know, one of the pastors said, you know, there were those times where we weren't so self-conscious. When there was a burden, we actually still got our hands and our knees and cried out for God's help. And more what we see is just people bowing their heads, praying in silence, listening to a pastor, writing their concerns on social media, but we just don't see people cry out for God. What is that? And nobody had a solution to the problem. We all could identify the problem, but none of us knew how to meet the need. And I think that's true of so many of us. I know it's true in my life. It really challenged me. Of how often do I feel overwhelmed? How often do I go through a trial and I will complain and I will moan and I will talk to my wife about it and I'll even call up a friend, and I'll lament, and I'll be upset, and I'll stress myself out, and my solution is to go to the gym or to eat some ice cream or to just, you know, have a night by myself or get some alone time. But how rarely do we ever truly anymore get on our hands and our knees and say, Father, I need you. God, I need your yoke. God, I need your spirit. God, I need you to handle this burden. God, I'm praying and I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to be knocking on your door every single day and I'm going to let it all out. I'm going to let my emotions fly, and I'm going to tell you exactly what it is I'm feeling, exactly what it is I need. How often are we in the midst of our trial truly relying on God and saying, God, this is where I need you? But so many times we're protected. We put a mask on. We keep things to ourselves. Maybe a few trusted friends here or there, but we don't truly cry out to God. We need God, but I don't think we're ever going to experience what it is we truly want until we are honestly desperate for Him, where we are truly in need of Him in a way that is so unexplainable, so out of control, that people think it's weird, honestly. There's a song I've been listening to on repeat, and I'm going to ask the band to come back up because we're going to sing it together. They've taken the morning to practice this song for me because I think it's just so important, because I've been listening to it on repeat in my car. It's by Hillsong, and I just want to read you these lyrics because these lyrics are so important. It says this: there's a song, there's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone, because there is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas. There is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. I love those words, and they've really reminded me. So many times I've even said to myself, I'm alone in this. But I forget that God is right there with me in the fire, holding back the seas, standing in the space where I used to be and what I'm going through now. He is here with me. And if I would turn to Him and truly be desperate for Him, oh my goodness, my attitude would be different. My heart would be different. How I handle my stress would be different. People would enjoy me a whole lot more. But my relationship with God would actually be stronger if I relied on Him. It would make me stronger probably for the future trials that I'm going to face that are up ahead. Because these trials, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, they'll look like nothing. You know, they'll look like little speed bumps. Because there's other stuff that's going to happen in life that's way more difficult than what I'm going through now. So this is my time to draw to Him, to rely on Him, to be desperate from Him, and learn from Him. This is my time to be on my knees and cry out to Him and be filled with what I need, to learn from Him, to be yoked to Him. And so this morning, man, I don't know what's going to happen here. But I want to sing this song. But I also want to give you this opportunity. Again, this opportunity, it only comes so often. And if you pass it up, as God is talking to you right now, as you hear that voice right now, what He's telling you you should do, if you pass it up and you just leave here like it's every other Sunday and you go through those doors, by the time you get in your car, the enemy will convince you that it wasn't real. The enemy will convince you that it was just emotional, that it was just a moment that was produced with the lights and the music and all of that. But here's the thing, if God is speaking to you right now, you need to do something about it. You need to not let this moment pass. You need to let this moment transform you and break your heart and make you more vulnerable and transparent to God than you have ever been. So I want you to stand with me, and we're going to sing. And I want you to know that our altar is right over here in front of this cross. And I know you can deal with it. I'm not saying you can't. You can close your eyes right now, and as we pray, you can deal with whatever it is you're going through right where you are, right where you're at. That's okay. But maybe this morning, maybe to get the full benefit of what God is trying to say to you today, you need to fully be desperate for Him. You need to unleash it. You need to let it loose. Nobody is going to judge you. Nobody is. If somebody comes over and touches you on the shoulder, just go, "Don't touch me," and they'll go away, all right? But this is why we're here. This is why we're a body together, because we carry each other's burdens too. Here's the thing. As much as Jesus wants to be yoked to you and carry you through your burdens, I want to come alongside you as well. And I'm only a human, and I'm only one man, but I promise you as your pastor, whatever you go through, I will be there with you. You are not alone, and you don't have to do it alone, and you are not enough. There is another in the fire. All these people in this room, people I trust, people who have been with me for a long time, they're here for you too. They're in the fire with you too. So take this time to worship God, to rely on Him, to be desperate for Him, and I promise you today, He will answer you and He will show up in your life. So let's sing, let's pray, and I'll come together at the end and I'll close this.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We'd love it if you'd help us out by hitting the subscribe button and leaving us a review. Also, join us at our physical location in Troy, Missouri at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.